God can use anybody at any time, at any stage in their life. Do not underestimate the power of God. Do not underestimate it. He might test you. He might test you, but he'll never deny you as one of his own. You understand that? So you might be tested. So don't give up in your prayers. Stand boldly in front of that throne and says, look, I know about your mercies. I read about them in the Bible.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is How We Should Pray and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Okay, today's sermon is going to be how we should pray. And this is a beautiful message, I think, in Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, because I'm going to show you something in here that the Lord revealed to me. You know, you can read a passage over and over again and not get it right away. And sometimes God says there's more to this passage than you've been hearing. And in this passage, you're going to see that no matter where you are in your life, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what your status in life, God's grace is bigger than that. And so when I was preparing this, the Lord was telling me that some people in this church, they believe that they don't, that they shouldn't be accepted in the family of God, or perhaps that some people in the family of God believe that they shouldn't be accepted in church. Do you follow what I'm getting at? Like maybe some of you feel like you don't belong here, or perhaps you feel like others think you don't belong here. But this passage is going to show that Jesus accepts anyone who has faith in him. So you can't look at your past sins or your status in life or where you are and condemn yourself or allow anybody else to condemn you. And that's what I want to show in this passage, or better yet, this is what I want the Lord to show through me to you in this passage. So if everybody would turn to Matthew 15, verses 21 and 28. When you have that, say amen, and we will stand for the reading of the Word of God. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Y'all may be seated. This is going to be a powerful message because I couldn't wait to get here today to preach it. And I believe that everybody in the sound of my voice is going to be blessed by the Lord today. This has opened my eyes to a lot of things. Because as Christians, we sometimes condemn ourselves more than other people are condemning us. Does that make sense? We'll beat ourselves up. We'll sit there and think about things as to why we're not worthy. But here we have an example of a woman who wouldn't take no for an answer. So I'm going to go through this passage verse by verse, and I'm going to show you what the Lord has showed me. And prayerfully, the Lord is going to be able to convey that through me to you. So let's pray. Lord, I just give you thanks, God, for the message that we are about to receive. Father, I pray that you will prepare our hearts to hear it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 21 says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, as far as we know, this is the only time Jesus was outside of Jesus' territory or Jewish territory. Now, let me explain why that's important, because sometimes God is going to come into your life and you may not get another chance to respond to what he is going to do in your life. There may be an invitation to come to church, to start going back to church, and you may never, ever get another chance to that invitation again. So as far as we know, as Jesus walked the face of the earth, this was the only time he was outside of Jewish territory. This woman had a chance. This woman that approached him had a chance, and she took that chance. So in our own walk with Christ, we have to make sure that when God has given us a chance, we had better take it, because you don't know what tomorrow might hold. So when God gives you a chance, you need to take it. You don't want to play around with the chances that God is giving you. This woman was outside of the Jewish territory. Jesus technically shouldn't have been there, because he came for the lost children of Israel. But here he was in Gentile country, and this woman saw her chance, and she took it. A Canaanite woman from this vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Notice the woman sought after Jesus. He didn't come to her. She come after him. She was crying out to him. See, sometimes when you're in trouble, you need to stop and stop. Just forget about making phone calls to your buddies and your friends and your mamas and your daddies. Those are all important. Family and friends are important. But you need to seek after Jesus. You need to seek after God. You need to cry out to him. This woman was doing the right thing. She saw Jesus and she started going after him. Seek and you shall find. Does not the Bible say that? Seek and you shall find. The woman was a Canaanite, a descendant of the people that God had previously marked for extinction because of their great sins against him. Back in the time of Joshua, he had ordered to wipe them out, wipe them all out. Not even their kids were going to be alive because they were into all kinds of great sins. And that's a whole other sermon. That's a whole other story. But this woman was a descendant of these people. She recognized him for who and what he is, Lord and King of Israel. As Christians, when we approach God, we should understand who God is. We should understand who Jesus is. Jesus is the Lord of our Saviors, our Lord of our lives as our Savior, and he is our King. This woman realized this. She understood this about God. She understood this about Jesus. Being a Canaanite also made her a Gentile, an outsider to God's people. She had no claim to the promises made to Israel by God. No claim. Everybody say she had no claim. She didn't have a right to come up to him and say to him, Lord. She didn't have a right to come up to him and say, Son of David. She wasn't a part of the Jewish community. She wasn't a part of the Israels. It took a lot of nerve for her to get up there and to say, Son of David. See, Jesus was a descendant of King David. He was in his bloodline. He was the rightful heir to the throne of Israel. He wasn't her king. But she was claiming him king over her life. And she had no right to do so. But she did it. Jesus did not answer her a word because of that very fact. He had no obligation, technically, to answer an outsider's request. He came for the Jewish people. Were not the Jewish people his chosen people? So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Yes, Jesus is Lord and the descendant of King David, but being a Gentile, this woman had no right to approach him on these bases. That's why his disciples were saying that. They were treating her as an outsider. Any of you ever go to a church and feel like you're an outsider? You can proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ, walk into a room and people look at you and condemn you with their eyes. That's what these disciples were doing. Their hearts were hardened against this woman. Because they were religious in this matter. They were seeing it from a religious standpoint, not a loving, caring, godly perspective. The disciples saw the woman as a nuisance, but Jesus saw her as a vessel to demonstrate his grace. You get that? The disciples saw her as a problem, as a nuisance, as something that should go away and leave us alone. Too many times in my walk, with God, I have been cast out by other Christians because I did not conform to their formalities. I did not conform to their, quote, religious beliefs. But Jesus saw an opportunity in this woman to demonstrate the grace of God. See, Jesus looks at you and he sees something that other people don't see. Jesus sees something inside of you that can glorify his name, that can show others his grace and his love and his caring and his compassion. Undeserving love, undeserving compassion. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Jesus clearly saw the lost sheep of Israel as his main focus at this time in his ministry. However, he later would send his disciples into the whole world. But as he walked the earth, he came mainly to focus on the Jewish people. This woman had one chance to approach Jesus because he had not been out of that territory, out into the Gentile territory, as far as we know, except for this one time. So he was reminding this woman that this was his purpose for coming. Now, clearly, Jesus is testing this woman, isn't he? Because we know that he's going to grant her what she wants. The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. Now, listen, she dropped the title of Son of David. Did you see that? She didn't say Son of David again, did she? Because she knew she wasn't an Israelite. But now she's coming to Jesus with reverence. She's worshiping him. She's calling him Lord. How many of us, when we're praying to God and asking a request of him, do we actually come to him in reverence? Do we actually come to him as Lord? Or do we come to him as his boss? Not that we ever could be his boss, but I'm talking about our attitude. It's like, give me this or else. Give me this or I'm going to do it my way. No, this woman addressed him with reverence, and she pleaded to him, "Lord, help me." She did not give up. She was not put off by Jesus' rebuke. She didn't fail the test so far. She's coming around it another way. She's saying, "Well, if you're not going to be my king, then you can be my Lord. I take it any way you can give it to me. I just want your help. I just want you to bless me. And I'm not going to leave you alone until you do." Now, the Bible doesn't mention anything about this, but judging from the disciples' previous reaction, they must have been standing there getting even more annoyed because she was a Gentile. You know, the Israelites believed that the Gentiles were dogs licking up the scraps left behind. They didn't have a whole lot of respect for the Gentiles. The woman shows humbleness. The woman shows humbleness. She humbles herself and says, "Lord, help me." It takes humbleness to get in front of God and say, "I can't do it. I need your help." It takes humbleness. Some of us have pride as believers and we think we could do it all on our own. Somehow, some way, people believe that because they're a Christian, that they can handle the world on their own all of a sudden, all by themselves. But this woman knew that she couldn't do this for her daughter. This woman knew that she had to cry out to God, that she had to have his help. So she humbled herself in front of Jesus. She knelt before him. How many of you guys get down on your knees and pray? Or do you just stand there and say, "Hey, God, this is what I want you to do"? That is the wrong way to approach God. We want to approach God with reverence and humbleness and to lower ourselves. Because we can't do it on our own. We do need his help. The woman is persistent. The woman is persistent. Somebody say, the woman is persistent in her prayer. Why is that important? I'll tell you why that's important. Because before some of us even start to pray, we think God's not going to answer our prayers. It's too hard, or God never does that for anybody, or if he does, he's not going to do it for me. We've already made up our mind not to pray, and if we somehow push ourselves to the point that we are going to pray, then we just pray once and we give up. One Christian once told me, "I only pray one time because I believe God answers it on the first try." Well, that's not what this scripture shows. God will test your faith. God will test your faith to refine you. You know, sometimes when you're praying long enough for something, you realize you're not praying the right way. Sometimes you pray long enough and you realize you're asking God the wrong question. Sometimes you're asking God the wrong things in your prayer, and you keep praying, and he's talking to you, and you start listening in your prayers because it's taking you so long to get them answered. You got nothing else to do but to listen at this point. You get to the point in your prayers where you start listening to what God is saying. Man, then you start praying in the right direction. Because if you start listening when God is praying to, or when you're praying to God, if you start listening to what God is saying to you, you'll start to change your prayers in accordance to his will. Now, this woman was persistent. Jesus was standing in front of her, and he was putting on a show like he wasn't going to help her. Ever feel like you've been praying to God and it feels like he's distant, like he's not listening? It could be he's just testing you. Because see, in your mind, you know that God is always there. In your mind, you know God has always pulled you out of stuff. But now, because you can't feel him or because the answer isn't right away, you want to walk away from God and give up. This woman didn't do that. It must have took, let me tell you something. It must have took a lot of guts for this woman to approach Jesus. Not only was he putting up a bit of a resistance, but she was an outsider from the beginning. And the reason why I think this is so important is because listen to this. We have a church here, and we are a little church, but a little church can make a big difference. Jesus had 12 disciples, but they applied himself to his teachings, and they went into all the world, and now we have the Bible. And now we have great churches all across this nation and the world. So you see, God can take something small as long as he's got somebody with a big heart to work with. It takes faith to move God. It doesn't take your status in life. It doesn't take your job. It doesn't take your money. It doesn't take your past sins or your past accomplishments. It takes faith to move God. That's how you impress him. It says, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to persist until I get what I want out of you. But I'm going to make sure, Jesus says, that what you get out of me is what is in my will. Now, part of his will was to show the disciples a lesson about grace. And part of his will in this situation was to refine this woman's faith. She drops the title of Son of David and comes to him as creature to creator. See, she's getting the message here. I don't deserve anything from you, God. I'm not worthy of anything from you, Lord. But I am your creature. And God is my creator. She is trying every angle she can to reach God at this point. Oh, how soon we as Christians give up trying to reach God when we have a direct line through the Holy Spirit, through the bridge of Jesus Christ, who has forgiven us for all of our sins. How soon we give up when we're asking God. Now, I'm going to tell you guys something. This woman was doing the right thing. She was not giving up. If you think that getting right with God is simply just accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're only half right. Because you have to keep seeking after him on a daily basis. Pick up your cross daily and follow me, Christ says. If you want changes in your life, you had better start with yourself. Because most of the time when I'm praying about somebody else, God is pointing at me. Not to condemn me, but to build me into a more spiritual person so that I can overflow into your lives. Do you understand that? You guys want to be blessed, you have to be a blessing. You want to be blessed, you have to be a blessing. You reap what you sow. When's the last time you blessed somebody? I don't know. I'm not judging. But I have to check myself when I'm up there petitioning God for things. Because sometimes he'll show me all my blessings and say, you know why you still have these blessings? No, Lord, why? Because you ain't giving none of them away. You ain't sharing with nobody. You're keeping all your money to yourself. You're keeping all your toys that I gave you to yourself. You're not blessing anybody else. That's just what God says to me sometimes. Hey, the Bible is a mirror, and we're talking truth up here. I'm not a perfect person. Maybe some of you guys are perfect. I don't know. But I'm not. I make mistakes. But the difference between a Christian and a worldly person, a non-believer, is that they admit it. And if you're a Christian and you're not admitting your mistakes in front of God, you don't have to tell me about your mistakes. That's not what confession's all about. I can't help you with your mistakes. You can come to me and I can give you godly counseling. But ultimately, it is God who's the great counselor. So this woman drops the title of Son of David and comes to him as creature to creator. This is the lowest denomination you can get. She's on the ground crawling. She is kneeling, begging. And she's not taking no for an answer. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Now, in the Greek, he actually used little pet dogs, okay? And he probably said this with some sarcasm. He probably said this with a grin on his face or a little smile, because he wasn't insulting the woman, but the Gentiles were considered as dogs by the Jewish people because God had condemned them to extinction in the Old Testament. Now, the Jews of the day, they considered these Gentiles no better than dogs. But I don't believe for a moment that Jesus was insulting her, but he was revealing her unworthiness. Now, understand that God has more respect for a person who comes to him who acknowledges their unworthiness than a proudful heart. God can't do nothing with pride. He can't do anything with pride. If you think you got all the answers, why would you listen to him? If you think you're already fixed, how is he going to work on you? Because you could be broken praying to God and not listening to him, trying to help you. Now, you don't want to go to God not seeing your unworthiness. Because the whole point of the Christian faith is that Jesus Christ did it through grace. He sacrificed himself not because of what any of us did or are doing or will do, but because he loves us and that God didn't want anybody to be lost. Now, what God wants and what God gets isn't always the same thing, is it? Because we know that there's some people that are going to hell, but that's not for us to judge. But let me tell you, true faith is knowing that no matter how low on the totem pole you are, no matter how small your church is, your faith is what impresses God. Now, I know that there's some churches out there that are like 10 times, 1,000 times the size of this, and they have thousands of people coming in, and God bless those churches. But God can't use big churches all over the place. Sometimes he needs little churches with people with big faith. This woman seized her opportunity when her appointment, quote, opened up. Now, there's something that's also interesting about this. Jesus uses the word bread. What's another name for Jesus? The bread from heaven, right? Anybody know why he's called that? Anybody who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood? I am the true bread from heaven. The Israelites were fed manna, which they called the bread from heaven. But the people who ate that died. But the people who eat of this bread shall never die. Remember Jesus said that in the book of John? Here was a Gentile woman seeking after Jesus. And she was considered a dog. Now, I want to tell everybody in here, no matter what anybody thinks of you, no matter how they persecute you, no matter what they believe about you, no matter what they say behind your back, no matter what your own mind is coming against you with, no matter how low you are, you can always come to Jesus and he will accept you out of faith, out of faith. Now, I'm not condoning disobedience to God, but whatever your past sins are, you repent, you confess them to the Lord, and you walk on from there. It's a daily journey. You don't give up. You seek after God. You might be a dog in the eyes of the world. You might be the lowest of the lowest in the eyes of the world. But to Jesus, you are everything because he gave his life for you. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that because there's people out there that'll come after you just for being a Christian, just for trying to live your life for Christ. Oh, they're different. They don't curse. They don't engage in dirty jokes. They don't gossip around the office. They're one of them Christians. Your workplace can be hazardous if you're a Christian. The world can be hazardous. Here you had the disciples calling this woman a dog. Here you have Jesus testing her on that very fact. Even God will test you on your faith. But God will test you for a different reason. Not to insult you, not to hurt you, but to build you and to heal you and to strengthen you. If you guys want to be strengthened by God, you got to be challenged by God. Do you know that? If you want strength, you got to work. You don't build muscles by lifting nothing. You build muscles by lifting weights. So if you're going to come to God and you're going to petition something big from him, he is going to challenge you big. Okay, so the Jews of the day considered Gentiles no better than dogs. And this woman was looking at herself as the same compared to this group of people because God's blessing were on these people. But notice how this outsider saw something that the Jews at the time didn't see. Jesus actually used the word for little pet dogs. I went over that. Jesus exposed her unworthiness in order to show the level of his great mercies. Sometimes God has got to let you get down to the bottom so that you can see yourself compared to the great love that he has to offer. Sometimes God has to humble you so that you can see his great mercies. Because you know what? If God just pulled you out of anything, I guarantee you, I don't know, I think I'd be like this. If I never had to be humbled by God, I'd be walking around saying, you know, God pulls me out of stuff because I'm a good Christian. That's why he does that for me. Because I'm better than all the other Christians. That's not my pattern of thinking. But you know as well as I do that if you reward people too quickly, they might get the wrong idea. So God allows us to get to the point where we see ourselves and to see our unworthiness, to take away our pride so we accept his grace. And you know, there's times that I'm gonna be open on this. There's times I prayed to God that he's pulled me out of stuff and tears would start filling my eyes because I see what a rotten, lousy person I am compared to his grace. And I ask him, what do you want with me? Sometimes I don't want to live with myself. Why would you give your son, Jesus Christ, so that I could be in heaven one day with him in your kingdom? So I could be in your kingdom one day. Why would you want anything to do with me? I don't even want to hang around myself sometimes. You guys ever look in the mirror and you know you've done something you shouldn't have done and you say to yourself, I hate myself right now. Not in the sense that you hate yourself, but you're just upset with yourself. You're disgusted with yourself. And then you realize, you start saying to yourself, man, I better be thankful that I even got one friend, let alone the three that I know, because I don't even like myself right now. And if people knew the things about you, your deepest, darkest secrets, they would probably call you a dog. No, I'm being truthful here. I'm not calling anybody a dog, but I'm saying if people could look into your heart and get into your thoughts and see some of the deeds that we do in secret, all Christians, all people, the secret things that we don't reveal to others, that we would probably be worthy of the title dog. Because we've lowered ourselves to ungodly standards. And see, Jesus, he sees that already. God looks at us as an individual into our hearts, and he's already known everything you did, everything you're doing, and everything you're going to do. And he still has that grace. So you understand that Jesus is approaching this woman in the same way, but Jesus is in the flesh in this situation. So he is telling her, you are considered a dog by the people of Israel. And I have come for my chosen people. Do you not see the unworthiness you have in the eyes of the world? He is humbling this woman even further, not just for her sake, but for the disciples too. Because now you got this picture of this unworthy woman. The disciples must have been dismayed when he gave her what she wanted. So she answers back, yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Now listen, this woman is coming boldly to Jesus. She is telling him that she can have a little of a lot. And she'll be happy with a little bit. And sometimes when we pray to God, we want everything. But I want to reference a verse here in Hebrews in the King James Version 4:16. You don't have to turn to it if you don't want to, but you're welcome to. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Grace. Boldly come to the throne of grace. You don't come to God to the throne of deserving. You don't come to God and say, well, I'm a Christian and, you know, I'm a good person and I've done all of these things and you owe me, God. No, it is the throne of grace, undeserved merit. And you should come boldly, not based on anything that you guys or I or anybody else does for God, but based on his grace. This woman was calling Jesus out on grace. Grace. The whole concept of the Christian belief is you don't earn your way to God's heart. You believe your way there because you're already in his heart. Because while we were still in our sins, he sent Jesus to die for us. We weren't even thinking about it as a race of people. And God was already planning a way to rescue us from ourselves and from sin. So do you follow what this woman is doing? She is coming boldly. Now, let me tell you something. I want to apply this to the church because I'm going to tell you something. The devil will tell you, you don't deserve to go to church. You got better things to do than come to the church. No, you don't want to miss your opportunity because if you miss a day of church, you might miss a message that God has to tell you something. Okay? Because God has sent me the messenger to say something and he might have a message for you. You miss a Sunday, you might miss your opportunity. This woman didn't miss hers. Okay? And if you have an excuse not to come to church, well, I tell you what, you better be praying that God will remove that excuse. You better stand in front of God and say, God, I know it's your will for me to be here, and I want to be in this church, and I'm going to come boldly to church. I don't care what my friends say about my church. I don't care what I'm thinking about my church. I don't care about that guy that's sitting next to me that gives me dirty looks at church. I'm going to come boldly to the throne of grace, knowing that if I stand strong in the desires of your heart with faith, I am going to get my request answered. You guys follow that? You have to be bold in your walk with God. Bold. Because I'm not going to do it for you. Your husband, boyfriend, friends, mother, father, sisters, brothers, they're not going to do it for you. You want the blessings from God? It's a one-on-one relationship. It's a one-on-one relationship. It's between him. Now, God will send people to help you, but you got to listen because nobody's going to do it for you. So the woman now comes boldly to Jesus. The woman does not deny that she is unworthy by worldly standards, but instead casts herself upon Jesus' mercy, love, and grace. Let me read that again. The woman does not deny that she is unworthy by worldly standards, but instead casts herself upon Jesus' mercy, love, and grace. She's there praying for her daughter. She is pleading with Jesus on the level of his mercy, love, and grace. She has taken herself out of the equation. She has taken herself out of the equation. When you pray, you need to take yourself out of the equation and put Jesus in your place. Because under grace, God has accepted you into his family because you accepted his son, Jesus Christ. So what do you have to do with your prayers? The woman does not deny that she is unworthy by worldly standards. She doesn't deserve anything from Jesus. Nothing. But yes, she's standing there saying, give me the crumbs. Give me the crumbs. I'll take them. Some of us shop for cars. We can only afford a Volkswagen, but we want the Cadillac. And you find yourself walking the next day because you could have had the Volkswagen. But you're walking miles. Oh, Lord, I need a car. Well, I had a Volkswagen for you. But you wouldn't humble yourself. You'd rather walk. Well, if I can't have that Cadillac, I don't want nothing. Now, you think that's funny, but, you know, and it is. But the Jews had a different perception of Jesus. The Jews, not this woman who was a Gentile, they believed that their Messiah was going to be a great warrior king, conqueror, who was going to deliver them from the Romans. And when he started talking about spiritual health and spiritual deliverance, something that would be in the future of their lives and not at the moment, they started rejecting him. Because to them, they saw a Volkswagen. They saw something that wasn't in their mind that they had wanted and hoped for. So they rejected Christ as a nation, as a people. But this woman, she just wanted the crumbs. This woman just wanted the crumbs. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Jesus is very pleased and impressed with the woman's faith. And she is rewarded for it. He didn't say, "Oh, you're a Gentile woman and I've been looking into your life and God has revealed how good you've been." He didn't say that. He said, "Woman, you have great faith. You want to impress God? Show him your faith. Show him your faith. Show God that you are with him even when you're not in church. Show God that you can control your mouth when you're not in church. Show God that you can control your behavior when you're not in church. Show God that you can control your anger when you're not in church. Don't come here and impress me. You need to impress God. You need to impress God. I'm not in charge of your life. I'm just the messenger." And maybe I shouldn't put the word "just," because I believe that when God speaks, he has an important thing to say to our hearts. The question is, are we listening with faith, or are we dissecting everything that the preacher man says, wondering, did God really say that? Well, if it's stinging you right here in the heart, maybe God is telling you something, but it's up to you to listen, because you know what? You have free will. Yes, you can live your life any way you want to, but remember, God rewards faith. Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter was healed at that moment. Now, let me tell you something. It took a lot of guts for this woman to get up there and persist with Jesus. And not only was it just Jesus, but his disciples, a whole group of Jewish people, were standing there judging her, questioning her, and being annoyed by her. And Jesus himself was resisting her. He wasn't answering her right away, and she would not give up. Now, I'm here to tell you guys that if you don't give up in your prayers and you are on the right track with Jesus, that's why you need to know your word. You need to know that what you're asking God for is exactly in his will. You need to be praying about God's will. You need to be praying about God's will before you even start questioning whether or not he's going to answer it. Because I had people come up to me, tell me some crazy stuff. "I'm praying that God will divorce those people so I can marry his wife." What? Well, I've decided that they're not a good couple. And so if God would let them divorce, I can marry her. I've had people do that. Come to me and say those things. I prayed for them. I'm serious. I had another woman, a little bit of a reverse situation, said that there was a man at church who was married, consulting her about his marriage, and then started making the move on her. And he was married. And she kept saying, "Well, his wife, she seems so bad." Do you know his wife? No, but he's told me all about her. So you're making a judgment call based on his description of his wife. "Oh, yeah, he wants to divorce her, and I think we can get together after that happens." You know, God hates divorce. The Bible says he hates divorce. Not very many things that God describes that he hates, but he hates divorce. So anytime somebody comes up and starts saying things that don't match up with the Bible, understand that God is not in it if it don't match his word. So if you want to know how to pray, you first got to know what's in God's will. Because the Bible says we're supposed to pray in his will. This woman knew that Jesus was merciful. Mercy is in the will of God. Love and compassion is in the will of God. You just need to seek an angle around to get it. You understand that? This woman tried coming as, well, you know, Son of David. She tried to come Lord. She tried all these different things. But the thing that won out was her faith. Her faith impressed Jesus. That's the only thing he mentions. You have great faith. You didn't give up. So I'm here to tell you that if you're in the will of God in your prayers, keep praying. Don't stop. Because even if God doesn't answer it the way you want him to answer it, because I'm not here to say that God's going to grant everything the way you want it to be granted, but even if he doesn't, you're going to learn a lot about yourself and you're going to learn a lot about God on the way. Because if you listen and pray and listen and pray, and notice I'm saying listening, because you have two ears and one mouth, right? Right? You have two ears and one mouth, so you should listen twice as much. But if you listen when you pray, God will start revealing things to you about himself and about the situation, and most importantly, about your spiritual walk with him. Here was an outsider begging for bread crumbs, and yet Jesus's own chosen people would not eat of the bread of heaven. Here was a woman who wasn't even accepted by the Jews, wanting a piece of God, calling God out on his mercies, calling God out on his love and his character. This woman knew something that the Jews didn't know, that God is loving and forgiving. You can't judge anybody by where they are or where they've been, because I've had more help by people in prison than I've had with people in church who've been set free. Oh, hallelujah, that was, woo. Do you guys catch that, what Jesus just said through me? I've had more help by people who've been imprisoned than by those who have been set free by Christ. Those people have been humbled. But more importantly, they saw their humbleness. They would have been brought down. And they got to the point where they said, you know what, Lord? I don't like where I've been. But I know where I'm going. And it's to your kingdom. And I'm humbled by what I've been through. Not everybody's like that. Okay, so my point is again, you can't judge people by what they've done in their past. You can only judge them by their faith in Christ, by their fruits. By their fruits, you shall know them. So here was an outsider begging for breadcrumbs, and yet Jesus was rejected by his own people. So secondly, it was faith that moved and pleased Jesus to heal her daughter. It was faith, okay? So we went over that. But listen, Hebrews 11:6, and I'm almost done here. Hebrews 11:6, NIV. And without faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, if you want to take that to the next level, if you guys want the abundant life that Jesus Christ promises, you have to apply his word to your life. Because I give you a promise right here, right now. You apply God's word to your life, you will have such fulfillment that nothing else will be able to take its place in your heart. You take the word of God and you start studying it. You start reading it on a daily basis, and then you start applying it to your life. You start doing those things, and God will bless you spiritually so powerfully that it'll spill over not only into your physical life, but it'll spill over to the lives of other people. Don't you want to be used by God? Don't you want people to come up and say, this woman, this man led me to a greater understanding of the kingdom of God? I want to be used by God in that way. There's a great fulfillment knowing that God is using me. But he can't use anybody if they're not equipped. You got to have the tools. Tell somebody to dig a hole without a shovel. What's going to happen? Well, they might use their hands, but they ain't going to get the hole as deep as you probably would want it. So yeah, God can use you if you're not reading his word. Sure he can. But God can build an even greater house for him to dwell in if you will read his word. Don't you know that you guys house the word of, or excuse me, you house the Holy Spirit? Your body is his temple. God could live anywhere. God could live anywhere. But he chose to live inside of you. Now, if he's living inside of you, don't be polluting it with the world. Don't be having vile things come out of your mouth. Don't be gossiping about people. Don't be insulting people. Don't be talking lies about people. Don't be stealing. Don't be cursing. Don't be doing none of that stuff. Watch what you post on your Facebook. I'm not speaking to anybody directly here. I'm talking in general. Watch what comes out of you. Because if Jesus is living inside of you, shouldn't he be coming out of you? Show me your fruits. And I guarantee you, if everybody applies what I'm saying here today, this church will be a powerful church, not for our sakes, but for the world's sake. It all starts with a small seed. It all starts with a small seed. Everything an oak tree is going to be is contained in one seed. When that oak grows up, it's powerful and strong. But somebody had to water it. Somebody had to plant it and then water it and care for it. before it can get that strong. Now, I want to be that person that waters. But you know what? Some of you guys create your own wind to blow yourselves over. Stop doing that. You've been set free. Stop running back to the jail cell. Stop running back to the jail cell. You want to be in bondage, don't you? You think it's safer to be in bondage than it is to be set free by Jesus and live the way he's asking you to live. Because you're too proud or you're too scared. Yeah, God's going to ask you to do some challenging things. He's going to challenge your faith like he did this woman. But the rewards are greater than the setbacks. Do you understand that? So stop listening to your friends. Stop listening to your neighbors. Stop listening to your family. You are in the family of Jesus Christ right now. If you want to know what God thinks about you, read your Bible and apply it to your life. And even when things seem like they're not going right, there are seeds being planted along the way. And when you head back that direction, you might see some of them seeds growing up. But now, listen, you can plant another seed. You can plant a seed of weeds. And then you could head back the same direction and see weeds in your life. Troubles, problems, things that will follow you the rest of your life. Get mixed up with the wrong person. Get mixed up with the wrong person and see the weeds grow up in your life. You don't want to keep watering the seeds of trouble. You get so far into the weeds, you won't be able to find your way out. So in conclusion, here's what I have. God's grace is open to anyone who believes. So when you're out there witnessing as a Christian, don't be judging that person you're witnessing to, because if that person believes, then God's grace is open to them. You got that? If they want to be a friend of Jesus, he's not going to turn them away. Jesus doesn't turn anybody away that wants to come to him in faith. You remember that as Christians. I don't want anybody ever to feel judged. I take my church very serious because I love everybody in here. And anybody that gets to know me well enough, you know that I care about you. I do this because I care about people. So God's grace is open to anyone who believes. If God lays on your heart to start talking to somebody, talk to him. Talk to him about Jesus. Some of you guys have a last chance for something in your life. Maybe not your life in general, but something in your life that you've been asking God for. It's your last chance. It's your last chance of opportunity before you really mess up. And you can't get bailed out of it because you done used up all of your tries. Not saying that God's mercy isn't endless, but there are some things that God won't bail you out of when he's given you enough chances, because you know what? At that point, he knows this, it's just useless at this point. You're never going to change. You're never going to quit the wrong path that you're taking. So why even try? Why waste his time? Now, I'm not saying that anybody wastes their time with God when they pray or anything like that, but you do have a decision to make right now. I don't know who you are. I don't know what the decision is. But God is saying, this is your opportunity, because it's coming around to your life right now. And if you will believe me, you will receive from me. So you guys need to seize that opportunity, because God's grace is open to anyone who believes and not to anybody who deserves, because none of us deserve it. We must seek God in prayer. When you're praying to God, you better be seeking that relationship with him and not the thing that you want. You better be coming up to God and say, Lord, there's a condition on my prayer, and that is whatever I'm asking you for, if it's going to take me further away from you, God, don't give it to me. If it's the wrong thing for me in my spiritual walk with you, don't give it to me. And God, if you're not going to give it to me right now, just give me your presence. Just come here right now with me in fellowship with me and give me the peace that surpasses all understanding, because right now, Jesus, I need to be comforted. Right now, I need to be in your presence. Right now, I just need you by me. That's seeking Jesus, not the things that you're praying for. God may test us when we petition him. So don't be thinking that because you didn't get your answer today, tomorrow, next week, or next year, that God hasn't heard it. Sometimes we have to wait. Moses had to wait 40 years before he was drafted into the service of God. He was 80 years old. 80 years old before he was drafted into the service of God. And even he was arguing with God at that point. Who am I to lead these people? God can use anybody at any time, at any stage in their life. Do not underestimate the power of God. Do not underestimate it. He might test you. He might test you, but he'll never deny you as one of his own. You understand that? So you might be tested. So don't give up in your prayers. Stand boldly in front of that throne and says, look, I know about your mercies. I read about them in the Bible. I know about your love. I read about them in the Bible. You can't deny me. You got to answer my prayer. It might be no, and it might be yes. It might even be wait. Sometimes I'm praying to God, What's taking you so long? And God says back to me, you're not straight. You couldn't handle what you're praying for right now. If I gave it to you, you'd break it. I want to give you something that lasts. And that something is a relationship with me through my son, Jesus Christ. So faith in prayer pleases God, not the status of the person praying. Don't sit in front of God, start thinking about all the bad things you've done in your life and how unworthy you are, because he already knows that, okay? You're not the only one who knows how bad you are. God knew it before you were born how bad you were going to be. So stop praying like that. It ain't up to you to answer your own prayer. It's up to God. It ain't up to your own good deeds to get your prayers answered. It's up to God and the faith that you have. You have to rely on the faith of Jesus Christ and his mercies and his love and his forgiveness, okay? Not what you can and can't do for him, okay? You can't bargain with God. You can't bargain with God. He sees right through you. So understand that faith and prayer pleases God. It's the only thing that pleases God, not the status of the person praying.
This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.